Desire of Nations. Commentary for the March 20th, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. No one calls for justice. No one pleads a case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments. They utter lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. They hatch the eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web. Whoever eats their eggs will die, and when one is broken, an adder is hatched. Their cobwebs are useless for clothing. They cannot cover themselves with what they make. Their deeds are evil deeds, and acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. They pursue evil schemes. Acts of violence mark their ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks along them will know peace. Isaiah 59, verses 4 through 8. 2 centuries have passed since our nation tore itself apart in a bloody civil war. Per the CNN documentary, Lincoln, A Nation Divided, during only 3 days of that war at Gettysburg, approximately as many Americans died as during the entire 2 decades of the Vietnam War. Yet today, some glibly speak of bringing on a new civil war, parading the flags of that centuries-old conflict as an emblem of honor rather than the monument to treason and murder of their fellow citizens that it truly is. As shown by the insurrection at the Capitol on January 6, 2021, they would bring the bloody business to life again. These traitors proclaim that blue lives matter as though they support the police while beating a police officer to death. Had they been able to reach them, they would have killed more. One officer they tried to crush in a door barely escaped with his life. As Lincoln said in his second inaugural address, both parties deprecated war, but one of them would make war rather than let the nation survive, and the other would accept war rather than let it perish. And the war came. I pray that 200 years later, his words are not horribly prescient. These individuals who claimed to be saving the country launched one of the most despicable attacks on the very institutions of our democracy ever tried. With unabashed cheek, they did so based on the lie of a stolen election, a lie that countless judges, election officials, and attorney generals decried for what it was, false. While some try to claim that there was a biblical basis for their violence, a lie is not from God or Christ. Christ himself tells us that lies originated not with God but with Satan. Ironically, the very scenes we saw played out in Washington, D.C. in January, played out long ages ago in heaven, based on the lie that God was exerting unauthorized, tyrannical control over the beings of heaven, Lucifer began a campaign of lies to win followers to his cause. Perhaps it was not hard to win others over. Since lying began with Lucifer, who became known as Satan, the concept would have been unknown to the rest of the heavenly beings. According to Revelation 12, he succeeded in convincing a third of the angels to rally to his banner before God put an end to the insurrection. His following, strong as it was, could not prevail against the loyal angels. He was cast out of heaven, along with all his angels, and while this ended the insurrection in heaven, he brought his campaign of lies and rebellion to the earth. The very first act he carried out here in Eden was to subvert with a lie the loyalty of mankind. The lies have been unending ever since. Mankind's gullibility in the face of those lies has only grown over time. We may tell ourselves we would never believe a lie, but what if the lie was based on what we erroneously believe to be true? What if we were already suspicious about the motives of people from other countries or races, and the lie said that they had a secret agenda harmful to our interests? Would we fall for it? What if, as Christians, we believed that certain activities were sinful, and someone told us, they would do something about it. Would we fall for that lie? Would we continue to fall for it even if nothing they did produced the promised changes? What if they said the only way to carry out the change was to overthrow the government? Would we do so? At what point does Christianity say, this is too far? Is there a point that the Christian must stand against the mob and disengage from the hostile, lying rhetoric and the violence it bursts? The history of this entire hemisphere is written in rivers of blood shed for the effort to bring a false religion of racial dominance to the heathen indigenous people. We exterminated them with the aphorism that the only good Indian is a dead one. While doing that, we enslaved yet another race, torturing, raping, and murdering with impunity, all the while claiming it to be a God-given right to do so. We have done it for so long, and the tally of justice has piled so high against us, rather than do what is right out of fear, we double down like a desperate gambler, trying to avoid the consequences of his losses. But unlike the gambler, who may make any number of excuses for his behavior, we try to claim a holy justification for our behavior by pointing out the sins of others. Called whataboutism, because when confronted about our evil, we say, but what about this other person and what they did? It is like the magician who tries to divert our attention elsewhere to perform their sleight of hand magic. But both the magician and the sinner who do so are merely perpetrating a lie to cover their actions. But we know where the lies originate. We should not be taken in, even if it seems to confirm our unwarranted suspicions. Even as it did in heaven, the foreseeable result of following the founder of all lies is insurrection, violence, and death, as was shown in the American Civil War and more recently in the Capitol insurrection. When things are not progressing as we think they should, we take up arms and destroy one another. The banner that says love one another gets trampled in the dust to be replaced by one that says don't tread on me. The kingdom of God, a kingdom of peace, love, and compassion for one another, is not as compelling to us as one based on bloodshed, so we beat the plowshares into swords and the pruning hooks into spears. Little realizing that, as the prophet Joel points out, we are hastening the day we will be judged in the valley of decision for the lies we have fostered and spread. But there is hope for those who do not choose such a bloody and vain path. Christ, the Prince of Peace and Desire of Nations, will come. What took place in heaven will be repeated on earth as the usurpers, those who teach and follow the lie, will be cast out once again. However, this time, unlike the time that cast them into an Edenic hearth, they will have nowhere left to go in God's creation. They will be brought to an end. The affliction they brought to this world will not rise a second time. When Christ died upon the cross, he showed the lengths that liars will go to in opposing humility, empathy, and service. The lie was exposed so that all could clearly decide whether they would believe and follow the lie or turn away from what the lie promised and be restored to all that we were created to be. Those possibilities Jesus modeled and taught for 3.5 years of ministry recorded in the Gospels. His Sermon on the Mount, recorded by Matthew in chapters 5-7, tells us of the principles of God's kingdom, principles that are largely the opposite of what most of the world attempts to teach us. The world demands we jump on the rat race wheel to chase the golden carrot. We are taught that he who has the most gold wins. If others get trampled under our scampering feet, too bad for them. Eventually, we reach the end of life, exhausted, worn out by the struggle. We may find out too late that the race was rigged from the get-go. Others, believing the lie, may pledge the golden carrot they expect to get as surety to have things they want now. Too late, they discover that debt shackles them so that they can no longer keep up with the race. Life becomes a draining burden to so many rat racers. But Jesus promised a better way, Instead of focusing on that dangling carrot, he urged us to forget about that. Let God take care of our needs. Look to others instead to find ways to serve them. In that service, he will replace our struggle with his peace. He tells us, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Who would not desire that? Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find other commentaries like this one and the footnotes with the scripture references for this commentary at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God bless you and your family.